Matthew 21. You get your places there. I always tell the Hispanic church, they stand up and get their places when I tell them, and it's pitiful because it takes some of them a real long time. We have to help them, and I found out that some of them can't read, and that is a real that's so sad that they can't read. And I wondered, but then I found out that some of them can't read. Let me tell you, the most abused people, these people that we're sending checks to necessarily, but I believe there's three kinds of abused people. Father, help us as we open the Word of God for a few minutes. I really need some extra help this morning. Lord, help us how we need you, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that the Word of God will go out again with be received to praise to you and to blessing to the saved and salvation to the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe people being taken advantage of, maybe there's more, but there's at least three. And by the way, did you hear? You hear the doctor in the when they were changing the diets, and thank God for that. As far as drinking milk, I can't remember the doctor's name. He ran for president, and he said about milk that from birth to 18 years old that you need milk, and the milk goes straight to your brain and gives the nutrients needed to develop the brain. Lord have mercy, I didn't drink much milk. It's too late now. I did drink milk. But isn't it sad that we got generations that come up drinking a Coke or something instead of milk. And thank God for what's happening about the new ideas about serving milk. I'll just go ahead and talk about this too for a minute. Fat versus sugar. You know, they replaced, they said, don't do fat. They put sugar in. And sugar's an enemy, and fat is a friend. And the right kind of fats. And y'all, we got medical people here. They said without fat or sugar, the food tastes like cardboard. I like fat. And I like sugar. Why do I want to hurt myself if I know that sugar's an enemy? So kids, I'm not against you having a candy stick once every month or so. We never had dessert. We on Sundays, Mama might have cooked a cake every once in a while, but we didn't have dessert. Now dessert's the main part a lot of times. But anyway, most abused, taken advantage of. Elderly people are taken advantage of. I could tell you time and time again, I was in a home of a widow woman that her daughter was taking care, or it might have been her niece, of her finances, but when they were paying the insurance, she saw where her mother or aunt, whatever it was, or her granddaughter, I don't remember, has sent several thousand dollars to Jim Baker. Rip off. Elderly will take advantage of. They'll be fly-by-night carpenters come by and say, can I examine your roof? And they'll look and say, well, it needs to be patched up here, this or that. And they'll write them a check, and they'll go up there for an hour and piddle around and leave. I've seen a lot of that happen. Elderly people are taking advantage of concerning their riches or whatever. Maybe they don't even have nothing, but they'll borrow something. And so not only that, but as I said a minute ago, uneducated people are taken advantage of. Ignorance. I said ignorance is bliss, but people that are not in the know. And you know, it's not just you say ignorant people and uneducated people. concerning the times that we're living in. People need to be educated in the times that we're living in and what's happening. And it ain't all right. It's not all right. We got to pursue righteousness, and we've got to do our best to be up on what's going on around us. Be good citizens. You know, we're citizens of heaven, but we're not there yet. We're citizens down here. Living citizens, we are here. It's going to reflect on how we have any kind of responsibility of heaven, how faithful we are here. And I won't say anything about that. But the third group of people I believe that are most abused is children. Children. In their innocency. They're abused. You see that all the time. Not just sexually, but all kinds of ways, neglectfully, or whatever it comes, children are abused. They're hurt. They're not given an option. We got a teacher here. You don't understand what I'm saying. They don't get any help at home. They don't get any help. And it's a very, very sad thing that children are abused in so many different ways. They're abused when they don't get to come to church. And they're wanting to come to church. I know a little boy that wants to come every Sunday, but his parents ain't with him. That's sad. You know, you may know some kids like that. You pick them up, bring them with you. Bring them to church. They want to be at church. They want to learn. They want to know about Jesus. So in John chapter 2, we brought a message here a couple of weeks ago on the cleansing of the temple. And we're continuing some study on this. I hope that you'll stay with me just for a little bit on this as we continue these cleansings that Jesus made of the temple. Now, Jesus' temple, that was his house. That's his Father's house. And they had turned it in to a commercial center. They had turned it into everything but what God wanted it to be. When Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house, the house of prayer, and you've destroyed the reason for this temple, you certainly have. We'll talk more about that later. We'll talk more about that later. But what we want to do today is just check a couple of things. There were two cleansings. There was one when Jesus began his first ministry, he cleansed the temple. And then just before he was crucified, he cleansed it again. And there was a lot of ignorant people involved there being taken advantage of in the commercialization of the things of God. And they're being taken advantage of today. All kinds of para-religious, para-church organizations. You better be careful. You better get your roots in the church and stay there and operate through the church on any effort that you make about serving God, and stay away from para or para-church organizations. The religion. So anyway, and the things that happened just before Jesus cleansed the first temple, and the things that happened just before he cleansed it the last time, just before he was crucified. Now, the first thing in John chapter number 2, the actual cleansing was in verse 13, and the Jews' Passover. Those that sold oxen and doves made a slash of ice cream and a stir. Now, just previous to that, he did his first miracle. And that was at the marriage of the Cana of Galilee. And he turned the water into moonshine. No, he didn't. He turned the water into grape juice. He said, you've saved, the ruler said, the head of the feast said, you've saved the best until the last. He said, to begin with, at the feast, we always serve the best. And when people are well drunk, when they've had enough to drink, they want any more, we give them the bad to drink. And there's nothing in the Bible that's going to tell you it's okay to get drunk. You can just look at it. It gives warnings all the way through the Bible about getting drunk. And I'm not going to get into that, but if you got a drinking problem, you come to me and we'll get one-on-one, and I'll let the Word of God convince you that you're very foolish to be getting drunk. And if it takes five drinks to get you 100% drunk, if you take one, how drunk are you? Okay? Okay, so let's just leave that at that. But he did that miracle. He did that miracle at that wedding. Man, I just heard some good stuff about a wedding. I hope I'm not going to try to get into it now. The wedding's there and how it all typifies what Jesus is going to do with us and carry us to the Father's house and have the marriage supper. We're not going to get into that. We're just going to say that that was Jesus' first miracle at the wedding at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. And he turned the water into wine. And those pots were empty. They were empty. And he just said, pour water. His mother says, y'all just go to Jesus and do what he says. And that's a good example, ain't it? Don't you wish the Catholic Church would get to that and let Mary say, if you need any help, you're going to have to go to Jesus. Amen. Because I can't help you. So they poured the water in. They took it out. It was fresh grape juice. Fruit of the vine. And so it's a great miracle. I mean, as far as the crowd's concerned, it was limited. I mean, there might have been a good group of people there. I don't know. Surely there was. There's usually a lot of people at the wedding. You know, when I got married, I didn't care who came. I mean, you know, come on. You know, be there. And I didn't care. But you know what? Now I've been seeing things, and you know, at funerals too. Especially funerals too. We don't want so-and-so to be at this funeral. We don't want our brother, our cousin, or our uncle to be at this funeral. I get in all kind of stuff like that. You ought to go down here, talk to me and Josh sometime at the funeral home about things that that's come up at a funeral. I mean, anyway, I got to get away from that. But this was the first miracle, and it was a wedding, and there might have been a lot of people there. And I just heard something last week that's significant about getting married. There was this man that got married to this woman, amen, woman. One of my preacher friends said, my son's getting married. I said, congratulations. And he said, well, the only thing I'm thankful for is he's marrying a woman. He didn't brag on the woman or nothing. He said, at least she's a woman. So anyway, so let me get a drink of this fresh grape juice. So this man got married, okay? And one of his friends said, I know why you married her. You married her because her uncle gave her in his death, she inherited a lot of money from her uncle. He said, that's not true. That's just not true. He said, I don't care who gave her the money. Why they got married, they stayed married, they had a bunch of kids. I don't know. But that was the first miracle in the first place of the temple. In Matthew chapter 21 is the second and only. There were only two cleansings that are recorded in the Bible that Jesus cleansed the temple. I'll make a statement here. You first got out for God, new church and all, whatever, Rumpel Baptist Church years ago. I mean, the clean church. Everything Jesus started is out cleaning. What about faith? What about the God now? You started out clean, but how are you going to end up? And one of these days, he's going to cleanse us. I mean, we're going to be cleansed for the final time. Thank God. So in this second cleansing, there is some things of interest that I need to talk about. And the Bible says in chapter 21 and verse 1 of Matthew, when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, they had been down around Lazarus at Bethany in Bethpage. They had been down there where Lazarus lived. And they're going up to Jerusalem unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say, I unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. Straightway he was sent them out. That's like stealing a car. I mean, did Jesus have that pre-lined up? Did he go to that, whatever them car rental places are, the donkey rental places, and call ahead and say, I need a mama donkey and a coach donkey. No, he didn't. I don't know how it went. I don't know how it went on, but they showed up. And if you'll read closely in all three of these gospels, there was one man that had it out there, and two men came out, the owner and whoever else, maybe his son, maybe they saw somebody out there. The coat was tied out front and his mama. And then they came and said, what are you doing? They said, the master hath needed this. I said, oh, okay. If somebody come up to my car and say the master has need of it, they're going to have to do some proof in some way or another. They ain't getting my car just because they say their master needs it. I don't know. That's God worked all that out, okay? God worked all of that, and they got that. They got that, and here's what he done. And he said, and if any man say aught unto you, shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And straightway he will send them. And all was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, because ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and setting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Well, how'd he ride both of them? This is just a little something. I don't know how spiritual this is. But I want you to read, it's Bible, so it's got to be spiritual. In Mark chapter 11 is the other recording of this. And here's what it says in Mark chapter 11. I just want to read this. When they were come nigh Jerusalem unto Bethpage, Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, said to them, go on your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt. A colt! Tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring it. I've been around horses a little bit. I was raised with horses. I've been in the hospital two times because of horses and me. Both. It was my fault, usually both times. When I was just about that high, it really wasn't my fault. And I got kicked in the back of the head with Tony the pony. I reached down to get his right lines. Did I tell y'all that story before? I reached down to get the reins. And he pawed me in the back of the head and knocked me cold. Now, I don't want to repeat this. And I'll tell you this last Sunday, I didn't, did I? All right, so I'm laid out there in the yard, front yard. Looks like I'm dead. Somebody put me up on the banister of the porch and let me lay there till I woke up. Or they had to bury me. That's as far as it went. The other time, I'm riding my cousin Harlan right down the road here across the sagebrush field with Molly, a racking horse who ain't meant to be galloping across a sagebrush field, wide open. I carried old Harlan for a ride. We hit a stump or a tree laying there. Now, the horse didn't see it. We're flying through the air. Harlan goes that way. I fall on the stump, and the horse falls on me, and I'm carried by ambulance to the hospital. And so my brothers were down there at the Christian camp on 278, and my daddy always said, there goes the meat wagon. And so my brothers looked at the ambulance and said, there goes the meat wagon. And they didn't know I was in it. I woke up the next day in my bed. They told me about it. I didn't even know it happened. But see, one that ain't been rode. No man rode. You just don't jump on a horse. Unless you want your brains kicked out, unless you're a cowboy. Seth can train a horse. He's training some now. He's up at the house training some horses. I don't know how he does. But I'm going to tell you what, if you get on a young horse that ain't never been rode, you're going to get a run for the money. That's exactly right. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door. The mama's not mentioned. That's my thinking. Why ain't the mama mentioned? I don't know. I don't know. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without a place, without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said to him, "What in the world are you? What are you doing? Why do you loosing the colt?" And they said to them, "Even at Jesus' command," and they let him go. There you go. They must have knew Jesus. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And he sat upon him. Now Matthew says he brought the mama and the baby. This one don't say nothing about the mama. So you figure it out. You figure it out, I'll give you, Jeff will give you $50 if you'll figure it out. I got through that one. Now let's turn your Bibles to Zechariah. Zechariah. And we're in chapter 9. He said, "Preacher, you've been doing some real study this week. Talking about horses and mules and jacks and jennies." Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." This is prophecy about Jesus coming the first time to present himself as the king of Israel. And that's what he's about to be doing. He's going to ride that donkey. He's going to ride that donkey into Jerusalem, and he's going to ride in as the king. But they refused him. They rejected him, Connor. They rejected him. We know that story. Now it says this: "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." He rode both. Did he? Did he ride both? Did he ride just one of them? You say, what kind of spiritual significance is that? I have absolutely no idea. Other than he rode both. Is that what it said? That's what it said, didn't you, Lisa? He rode both. Don't ask. But I'll tell you one thing. It could be a picture of Israel in church. It could be a picture of the wild Gentiles that he calmed down. Aren't you glad that Jesus calmed you down and set you straight? Made it where he could, you know, if you was a donkey, he could ride you without you bucking him off. Just obey God and amen, and let him be a servant to him. And that's what that donkey was, both of them. And they're coming into the city. And in Matthew chapter 21, the disciples went and did as Jesus said, and they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him in person. They took their coat off, and they made a blanket out of their clothes, their coats, on that dog, on those animals, and they set Jesus on it. He starts going down the road towards Jerusalem. And a very great multitude. Now your mind needs to be saying that was a crowd. I want you to think about a crowd when we see multitude. Verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in the way." They took their coats off. They had their garments. They threw them on the ground in front of Jesus and let that donkey walk on their clothes. Would you do that? Yeah, get some in yard sale, but get some in clothes. You know, ain't it something where people want to give to the needy? They go in their closet and they get the things they're about ready to throw away here. The Bible says they just took off. I mean, they're there. They didn't go get. They took their coats off and threw them down and let Jesus walk right on them with that donkey. They put him first, didn't they? Oh, they put him first before any kind of possessions. You know, that fellow said, "Well, you know how much I paid for that suit? I ain't laying my coat down." No, he did. They did. They humbled themselves. They were receiving him.
as the king. And the Bible says there was a multitude, and a very great multitude, garments in the way, and others cut down branches. Verse 9, the multitudes that went before, there's multitude again. That's a bunch of people. And the multitudes that went before, now look, the multitudes that went before and that followed. You see that? You see that? There's some that got ahead of Jesus. They don't know this coming, whatever they were expecting him or whatever, and they're ahead of Jesus, and they're throwing their stuff down, cutting branches down. Then there were some that were following. Some got in before the others did, and some followed. I'll tell you what, I don't know what all that means, but I know one thing. I'm glad I got in line with Jesus. I'm glad that I'm following Jesus. Some were following ahead, setting an example for others that could follow behind. And as they got closer into Jerusalem, the crowd grew and grew and grew and grew, and there was a multitude. The multitudes that went before and that followed, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, what in the world does Hosanna mean? Do you know what it means? Well, I had to study it out a little bit. Hosanna is made up of two Hebrew words, Yasha Na. Sort of sounds like Hosanna, Nasha, Yasha, Yasha Na. Yasha means to be open, wide, or free by implication, to be safe, to be free, to be succored, to have avenged, to be avenged, to deliver, to defend, preserve, rescue, bring, showing salvation, save. And the suffix is O-U-R, save your, and it means to get the victory. And the word na means, I beg you, I pray, to do what? They were saying this as they went along, Hosanna, which means save us. Be a savior to us. We beg you to save us. From what? They were under Roman rule, and they were oppressed under Roman rule. They did not govern themselves. Limited government. Rome ruled them. And they were saying, this is the Messiah. And save us, Jesus. Save us. I don't know how many of them, I don't know, would mean also save me from my sins. And you know that's the principle. Save us from our sins. One day we'll be in the kingdom with him. The Jews, Clifton could get up here and tell better, they're looking for the Messiah right now. They don't believe he's already come. They're looking for him, but he's already come. And some of us are going before, and some are following. Some have been saved for a long time. Some have not been saved so long. And we're expecting these little children. Remember I talked about abused children? Just keep that in mind. There's a multitude. I mean a big multitude. In the beginning, at the first miracle was the marriage at Cana. They might have had a crowd there. I'm going to tell you what, it might not have been limited. But if he's giving away free booze, there'd have been a lot of people there. I don't know. It wasn't really alcohol. You can check it out. It's the fruit of the vine. It's the fresh fruit of the vine. There might not have been a big crowd, just a wedding crowd, a wedding party. But I'm going to tell you what, between the wedding and now, great multitude. You know why? He raised their daughter from the dead. He opened their eyes. He healed their lameness. He fed them. And there was people following him that had experienced personally what Jesus had done for them. And the crowd grew and grew and grew. There was a great multitude. And when they got to Jerusalem, you'll see the whole city come out to see the Savior, to see Hosanna. In verse 9, multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. That's who this is. That's who this is. So we see the colt and we see the crowd, and the crowd's growing, and the crowd is growing. The crowd is growing. Let me just go just a little further. There's a lot more I could get into, and I want to be limited here on what I say. The Jews trying to stop it. So let me just show you. I believe I'll do this now. How the Jews tried to stop the crowd. You don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 11, verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it. What? What'd they hear? They heard Jesus cleanse the temple. They heard the crowd saying, Hosanna. And the Jews sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. You know why they were following him? Because he helped them and healed them. You know why we follow him? Because he set us free. Remember, they were crying, set us free, deliver us, give us hope. That's why you're following Jesus. He set you free. You're free. You're following him. And religion don't like that. Religion wants to keep you bound. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees, they had the people under bondage. I was in Romania in a church. When I was there for 3 weeks, I stayed at that church in the lodge there and met the preacher. And they were called Union Baptist. And we asked him, did he believe in eternal salvation? And he said, I believe in it, but I don't preach it. He said, because I preach it, the people live any way they want to. He don't need to be a preacher. He's not a preacher. He's keeping the people bound. You're free, friends. You're free in Jesus to do anything you want to do. You're free. I'll be careful about that, anything you want to do. I'll be real keeping that in check. I sure would keep it in check. In check. Now, not only that, but over in Luke, it's got a similar saying. Remember the doctrine. Is that what it said in 11? It says they were concerned about his doctrine. It says that they were astonished at his doctrine. The people were. You know what? They were astonished. They said, man, we can't believe what we're hearing. You know what happens to you over time? You know what happens to a believer over time? If they're not careful, they'll say, I done heard that. They're no longer astonished at the word of God. When these preachers come here in February, I heard somebody was saying, I don't know if I can handle that much preaching. Well, just sit there. And when you leak down a little bit, take another drink. You know, take another bite. We love doctrine. You know what doctrine means? I had a fellow ask me one time, he said, do you preach on things? I said, things? I said, what do you mean? He opened his billfold and he showed me a picture of his son, had hair down to his shoulders. I said, yeah, I preach on things. He looks like a thing to me. I didn't say that. And now they ask me, do you preach doctrine? You know what doctrine means? Truth. I mean, no, I don't preach doctrine. I preach lies. Doctrine. They were hearing fresh freedom doctrine from Jesus Christ. And it drew a crowd. It healed a bunch of them. And there were multitudes, multitudes, multitudes following him at that temple during the Passover there. They came as king. He came as the king. And of course, we know that Israel rejected him and crucified him, as he certainly did. Now, there's another place in Luke that I want to show you, if I can find my place. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Our verse, let me see. All right, here it is.
Here it is. And he taught them daily in the temple, but the chief priest and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were what? Very attentive. Very attentive. I'm for saying amen. I'm for, if you want to shout, shout on all this and that. But there comes a time when you need to be very attentive to the Word of God. They were listening. Two things. They were astonished at the doctrine, and they were very attentive to what was going on. They were listening and absorbing the words of Jesus Christ. And if you'll do that, friends, you won't have to worry about falling out. You'll be strong in the Lord, even when persecution comes. Do you know how crazy things have got? There's a crowd up there in Minnesota, right? There's a crowd there. There's a crowd going against law enforcement, going against people that's getting people out of their communities that would rape or steal or sell drugs. And their own government's fighting our government. And you know what some harebrained other denomination, whatever, up in New England said this morning? I heard him say this about that woman, whatever her name was, Renee, that got shot. She's out of line, friends. That ICE agent's got some bruises on him and some internal bleeding where she hit him with that car. You won't see that. He'd done been drugged down the road by another car a few weeks before. And this Episcopalian or whatever he is, I wouldn't even be surprised now if a Baptist didn't say this. But here's what he said. We need to get ready that not only should we speak our words, but now we need to get ready to get our bodies involved, because martyrdom's coming. And he claims that that woman was martyred. A person that claims Jesus Christ said that woman was martyred. And they're all taken up for it. Martyred. I'm for it, man. I'm for the law. I'm for the law. That's all I'm going to say. I know a man talking to me recently. He's trying to stay out of jail by paying $50 a month. I was in the court with him a while back. I gave him a Christmas present. I paid $50 to keep him out of jail. He's supposed to go there every month. He's all up in the air about the law. He said, I have to go in there and sit down, wait. And then they call us in there and they let us pay. I said, $50 ain't much to have freedom. I said, this is it, buddy. I said, this is the last dime. I said, this is your Christmas present. And if you want to go to jail for 6 months, you can. But I tell you what, you better come up with $50. And I'm thinking he'll never do it. But guess what? I think he did. I said, $50 ain't much to be free. Criticizing the judge, saying he's a homosexual. I don't know if he is or not. I don't know how he knows. I don't know. He just looked like a regular man to me. Lord help us. Said that woman's a martyr. A martyr. Well, she maybe for their cause she is, but not for the Christian cause. Not somebody that was already trained in this thing about the ICE watch to be ready to know what they're supposed to do when ICE comes in their community to rebel against the law. Put them all in jail. Hang them. Put Tim in jail, little Timmy. He needs to be in the jail with that mayor with him. They need to be in the same cell. Give them 1 meal a day, a piece of cornbread and a glass of water. So the crowd, there's a crowd up there. Wrong crowd. Right? Wrong crowd. Do you realize that a lot of these people that gets in these crowds are paid to be there? And do you realize some of them just get in because they like the excitement? And they're so dumb, it's pathetic. They're ignorant, like I said, the ignorant people.
are abused people. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know. They don't love America. If you don't love America, friend, wherever you are today, I'll tell you what, I'll try to raise some money to get you an airline ticket to go wherever you want to do, one-way trip. Amen. Get them out. This is a Christian country. You base a foundation on what the foundation is. And the foundation of our country is Christian. It's not Muslim. It's not nothing else. It's Christian. The cult, the crowd, the cry, but the change. The change of the cry. Now, I don't know who all is involved in this, but if you look in Matthew chapter 27, just a few chapters over, there's another multitude. Matthew chapter 27. They got Jesus and Barabbas, okay? They got Jesus and Barabbas. And you know what's about to happen. And in Matthew 27, verse 20, but the chief priest and elders, here's a key word, persuaded the multitude. I wonder who the multitude is. Was any of the multitude there that was at when they followed him into Jerusalem on the last cleansing? Was it some backsliders in Christianity? Who was it? They got in the wrong crowd if they were there. They may have forgot what Jesus had done for them if he had healed them or fed them. And they got in the wrong crowd. And I just have a sneaking notion that some of them deflected and got in the wrong crowd. And the Bible says that these priests and elders persuaded the people. Persuaded. How easily can you be persuaded in your faith and where you stand? How easily can you be persuaded? Let me tell you something. I got convictions. I got preferences and I got convictions, and you do too. A preference is like this. I love butter pecan ice cream, but I'll eat chocolate or vanilla. That's a preference. But you know what a conviction is? I'll die before I eat anything but butter pecan ice cream. That's what a conviction is. And I want you to understand that somewhere along the line, people lose their convictions and they get in the wrong crowd. And they get tired of hearing of somebody like me up here screaming at everybody. And they find them a place where they can have their ears tickled. And they get in the wrong crowd. They say, it don't really matter about the Bible just so long as it's translated into English. It does matter too. It don't matter if the women get up and dance. And I know a church that just had a Christmas program, and I saw the video, and the women got up, and they're like flying angels, and they're dancing up there on the stage. Independent Baptist Church, well known. I ain't going to mention the name. God help. God help. There ain't no such a thing. There ain't no such a thing as a woman angel. I know we have them up here, Christmas play. I don't know what to do about that. We may turn them to the boys. Let the girls be the shepherds. They're not shepherds either. I don't know what to do with them. They persuaded the multitude. They persuaded. How easily are you persuaded? I mean, I don't think none of them said, look, you love your family, don't you? You love your children, your wife, get in this crowd. I don't believe it really got down to that. I believe they just slowly cooled down from what Jesus had done to them, because everybody that was in that crowd either knew somebody or had personally experienced in that first crowd a working of God in their lives, and they started following Jesus. Could it have been that some of them got in this crowd? It says multitude, don't it? That's what it says. That's a lot of people. That's a crowd. That's a crowd. That is a crowd. Verse 20, verse 22. Verse 20 says they persuaded them. By the way, here's another thing about a conviction. I had a man come here that I've known all my life. He's old enough to be my great uncle or something. He's dead now, but he came to me, wanted to meet with me here down in my study. And we talked, and he said, I'm starting a church up here in Cherokee County, and I wonder if you might sponsor. And he had been married more than once. I said, brother, I love you, but I can't do it. I said, he said, why can't you? I said, well, it's my conviction and on the Word of God. And he said, you can change your convictions. I said, not on your life, friend. I done come too far. It's a long time since 1971. And I prayed to God in that little blockhouse that we lived in the night. I said, Lord, you called me to preach. Help me to preach unhesitatingly. Help me preach right. Help me preach unapologetically. Do you think Paul ever got up, preached a message? Somebody called his hand after church, says, he said, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hurt your feelings. Feelings. Where do you see feelings? The only thing I see feelings in the Bible in Acts, it says they felt for God like a blind person groping for the wall. They were feeling. It's not, oh, you hurt my feelings. But anyway, there they are. Verse 22 says this. Here's what the crowd said. Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They wanted Barabbas released. Verse 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of these twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. He was a thief, a murderer, or whatever. Bad guy. Pilate said unto them, they wanted him released. Hey, something just come to my mind. You know who they want released? The bad guys, you know. They want to lock up the good guys and let the bad guys go. That just don't make a lick of sense, does it? Not a lick, does it, Jeffrey? Not a lick. Not a lick. Huh? That's right. Hey. The governor answered and said to them, whether of the twain will you release? I said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Then all say unto him, let him be crucified. Was any of that crowd, had something happened? But where now they're saying, crucify Jesus. Let Barabbas go free. Verse 23, and the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out, there it is. We got the colt. We've got the crowd. We've got the cry. Hosanna, save us. And we've got the change of the cry. A change of the tune, sang to the song. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Let him. Now look at this. Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Multitude, remember that word? We used it all the way through, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Now, if there's any of them old boys that changed colors, that once followed Jesus and now they was in the crowd crying, crucified him, and they had kids that watched their parents through the years, and they saw their parents starting out with Jesus, and now they're living against Jesus, living another lifestyle, living another way of life. It messes their minds up. And I said, what about the kids? Here it is. What about their children? Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, he was doing wonderful things. And the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased. The kids were doing, the kids had hurt their parents walking down the road of Jesus on the donkey and with donkey's mama. And they heard this man trying to say this. And they went in the kids looking at them. They weren't there. And they went around and said, saying this. Now they got some parents, it may be. Because I don't know. Do you know what you do if I do?
Let's see their friends here, contrary to what the man said, if the life is not given, give them.
Let's see. God help us. God help. Bow your heads, close your eyes if you'd like to do that. Honor the invitation.
When you have an invitation here, so walk in the thinking of him, the astonishment of dumping him out. What do you think? Thank the Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, remember the announcements now, and two or three of you guys I need to talk to, don't leave. I've already mentioned that. And so God bless every one of you, and let's keep praying for the revival and do our part, okay? If you'll do with every one of us, do our part, there's no telling what God will do. Jesus, prayer.